We're going to be looking at baptism. Now, I want to give the, if you will, famous disclaimer that we're not getting on to anybody today. We're trying to light a candle. If you do not have what this pastor or this church would call, quote unquote, scriptural New Testament baptism, that's what this is for. It's not to slap your hand or otherwise. It is to open up your avenue to what could be God's will in your life. And so if you've got any questions about this afterwards, let's set up a time. Let's talk about it. I'm convinced now we've changed our praying with the prayer of Jabez. We're not just asking the Lord to give us a blessing. We're asking the Lord to show us what that blessing is each day. Amen. If he gives it to us. And I'm convinced that I was asked to do this event yesterday, went all the way down to Irondale, Missouri to do it, just to sit down for about 30 to 40 minutes to talk to a young man about his relationship with Christ. Amen. And we had an awesome discussion. And it was about stuff that 30, 40 years ago, I'd have got red in the face and I'd got upset about being asked about it. And I'm telling you, church, there's no time for that anymore. Amen. We just got to get mellow. Let them ask what they need to ask. Do your best to answer it. Ask your own questions and the such, and just have a good, stretching conversation. And this young man could not have been more grateful and thankful that I didn't get upset, that, you know, yada, yada, yada. And I could not be more grateful that we had the, we invested in each other yesterday. And that was a blessing from heaven. If I said his name, some of you would know him, but that's not the important part. The important part is that you and I, if we will be attentive, we will be given opportunities. So, Brother Russ, a good lead into that. While I'm getting ready for the baptism after our preaching time, would you come up here, and you can appoint anyone, you can call on Craig or Daryl, whoever, but just give a testimony about CR. Tell us what God's doing in CR. You'll have about 5 minutes, okay? And I'm sorry for the you know, on the spot, but I know he's ready. I know he's ready. And so we normally like to baptize at the first of the service. My waiters were in the back of the car. I've been baptized before. I don't need to be baptized again. So I'm going to wear waders. Connie and Tina. Now, Connie and Tina, I bragged on you in the first service. We're not going to embarrass you here. If you want to hear me bragging on you, you can watch the DVD, okay? BethelLonedale.com. But God has blessed us as a church with Connie and Tina. And they have absolutely been an open sponge. And Evelyn has been their connection to this church, as far as I know. Evelyn is right now in the process of discipling them, taking them through some books about what the Bible's all about, so on and so forth, which that's exactly what needs to happen. And so I could not be more excited, but as I prepared for today's message, I thought, what a perfect time to talk about baptism. In my understanding and memory, I don't know that I've done this for a long, long time. The first thing I want to do is share with you, this is a message that John MacArthur preached to his church, and I'm just going to read to you just a little bit of the introduction about it, but he says it better than I can say it. It's brass tacks. I want to prepare you. Put your steel-toe shoes on, type thing. But if the shoe fits, wear it. But he just deals with some issues connected to baptism. First of all, he says, there doesn't seem to be much concern about baptism. And as a pastor, I can tell you that's absolutely accurate. Largely, it stems from the fact that there seems to be such a wide diversity of opinion about what it means and how important it is that everybody has sort of relegated it to an archaic, antiquated sort of ecclesiastical discussion level. And there's little concern for its spiritual importance. I would even go a step further, John says, not only considering somewhat the rather indifferent attitude toward baptism, but I would say that it is probably true that the greatest number, the majority of people who call themselves Christians, now realize he's talking to his church, have never been baptized according to New Testament baptism. Probably the majority of people who claim to be Christians have not been baptized according to New Testament baptism. I can't necessarily verify that, but that's a perception that I think may well be accurate. Frankly, there exists an unbaptized church, and it includes some of you. Again, he's talking to his people. Some of you, perhaps, have never even seen a baptismal service. not coming on a Sunday night when this platform is dramatically changed and the parts that are under me go up on a hydraulic lift. He pastors a very large church in California and reveals a baptistry here as we will do tonight and as we have done every Sunday right now. They baptize a lot. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Some of you have not only not been baptized, you've not even experienced a baptismal service. I would like to take this thinking a step further and also say that I believe that this failure to take baptism seriously in the church, a failure to follow baptism biblically in the church, is very likely at the root of some of the immense problems in the church because it betrays people's unfaithfulness to the simple direct commands of the Lord. Now, how many times have you seen or heard me say, if you want to be blessed, you got to get yourself in a position where God can afford to bless you. The bottom line question is, if you cannot be obedient in the matter of the simple act of baptism, which the Lord has specifically commanded every believer to do, is that not indicative of a less than obedient life? Which explains a lot of things about the weakness of the church in our day. When Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them, when he said that he gave a command to the church to baptize, clearly that is the Great Commission. When the Holy Spirit said, repent and be baptized, Acts 2:38, he gave a command to the individual believer to be baptized. Christ commands the church to baptize. The Holy Spirit commands the individual believer to be baptized. And when all 3,000 who believed on the day of Pentecost, they were immediately baptized. They set the example for the church. So we are under the commanding words of Christ as a church to baptize. We are under the commanding word of the Holy Spirit as individuals to be baptized. And we follow in line of the pattern and example established on the day of Pentecost when every believer was immediately baptized. Now, as clear, as unmistakable as these scriptures are, there is still a widespread non-compliance to this simple command. Now, let's get it down to where it really fits us. There are only five general reasons why a person who professes Christ would not be baptized. Now, I want to pause again here and say that when I'm talking to someone about a very difficult subject in my office, I will tell them, what I'm fixing to ask you is not meant to be accusatory. I'm trying to diagnose the situation. And so sometimes you have to deal in these difficult questions. I want you to have that attitude listening to this. Reason number one, the person is ignorant. Not ignorant in a cutting down fashion. Ignorant in the definition sense they simply are not aware of the importance. This person does not have the benefit of proper teaching. Has been ill-taught about baptism or not taught at all. It is possible that ignorance could be the reason. You just have not been properly taught. A second reason is that some people are proud. It becomes a matter of spiritual pride not to be baptized. You say, how so? Because you have gone so long without a proper New Testament baptism, and to be baptized would be a public confession of a long term of disobedience or a long term of ignorance, and such then would be a humbling experience. I absolutely get and understand that, but here's the thing. You would rather be humbled here than be humiliated later. One would be greatly humbled stepping into the baptismal waters to say, I know I should have been baptized, but I have been disobedient for years. We don't make you say that, but that's how the devil could work. Some people are not willing to be humble, and they're not willing to admit their disobedience. They're embarrassed to acknowledge their failure in this area, and it's really a form of spiritual pride. And as I noted a few weeks ago, they would rather be ashamed of at the judgment seat of Christ than before the church. A third reason why some people would not be baptized is because of indifference. Now, for me, this is the more serious accusation. They're indifferent. In other words, they just can't be bothered. Church, I beg God that that's not our issue. Just can't be bothered. They understand it. They're not against it. They may even believe in it. It's just not important. It's not a priority. They never get around to it. They're not able to come when they have it. They have to go somewhere when the preparation takes place. They always get their hair done on Saturday, and who wants to get it messed up on Sunday night? Thank you for laughing. That was meant to be humor. It just is not a major issue. It's indifference, ignorant, proud, indifferent. There's a fourth reason why some people don't want to be baptized. Let's just say they're defiant. They just flatly refuse. They rebel. Usually it's connected with the fact that if they did it, it would be hypocrisy, and they know that. They rebel against baptism because they're courting sin in their life, and they're not about to get up in front of a congregation of people and publicly acknowledge their submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the joy of knowing Him when they're harboring sin in their life. One point I want to say about this, I have to respect this person's unwillingness to go further in hypocrisy. With that said, I also have to lovingly ask that person, do you realize who you are putting off? You're putting off the eternal Creator, King of everything. That is not to be taken lightly. It's their hypocrisy that makes them defy the command to be baptized. And when you see a person who refuses to be baptized, it is either ignorance, pride, it is indifference, or it is defiance, or there's one other possibility, they're unregenerate. That means they've never come to Christ. They're not really a Christian at all. And so there's no moving of the Spirit of God to compel them to obedience in church. I love what Jerry Jolly said years ago. If you can live like the devil and go to sleep with absolutely no pang of conscience, there's a problem. There's an absolute problem. They have no desire to make a public confession. They just want to hang around the church, be thought of as Christians, but that's not genuine, and they're not about to stand up in a public place and affirm the reality of their faith in Christ, because that's what baptism is, which is not a reality at all. So if you have not been baptized, you fit into one of these categories or another, and you need to ask yourself the question, if I have not been baptized, is it because I do not understand its importance? If that's the case, you will leave this morning having eliminated that option, and you will be left with the remaining ones. Am I indifferent to its importance? Am I proud? Am I being defiant because of sin in my life, obstinate toward God, unwilling to obey? Or is the truth that I'm not really a Christian at all? I have no particular desire to be baptized because I have no particular compulsion to confess Jesus publicly. Now, again, I'm sharing that with you because I want you to wrestle with this situation. I do not know necessarily where you're at. I want you to go to the Lord and say, where am I at? What do you want me to do? And follow what He tells you to do. So simply, and this is not a long message, I found that out this morning, at 9 o'clock, basically, we were done. We sang four verses of an invitation in first service. Never been done. Since 2008, never been done that I can remember. So, now, you got a baptism today, so just relax. You're going to be here the whole time. What is baptism? Point number one, what is baptism? Baptism is immersion. That's what the word means. Let me read my notes. The more intensive word is used many, many times. It always means to dip completely and is the word to drown, totally submerging. We stop short of that, hallelujah, praise the Lamb, immersing, dunking into water. Now, I shared with the first service that the joke among Baptists when I was a kid was that, you know, we used to have little uniforms that you'd give, and if they were Methodist, and we're not trying to beat up anybody, okay, but this is just a joke, they'd put an M on the shoulder so the preacher knew to keep them down till they said tithe, you know, yeah, and I've shared this with you before. One of my most harrowing baptisms was with Brother Johnson, and Brother Johnson had a steel plate in his head from the Korean War, and so, admittedly so, he would tell you this, he was just a little off, but man, was he a wonderful guy. Got saved all over and wanted to be baptized, and he had some background into some shouting churches, and so underneath the water, he starts shouting, I think he's drowning. I do. He's 300, none your business. I'm trying to get him up as fast as I can. And when I get him up, it's praise the Lord, hallelujah. And I'm like, hallelujah, get out of the water. You know, I thought I lost my first one. When I baptize Tina and Connie today, as soon as I see the water close around their nose and their elbow, those are the two subjects that sometimes they don't get baptized. So you're trying to get the whole body, you know. Because you want a complete picture of salvation. But as soon as I see that water close around those two, I'm bringing them right back up and the such. And so all the jokes about baptism, that's all it is, but it's so important to know baptism is full immersion. It's full immersion. And that we'll get into that in just a minute. Ceremony. It's a ceremony. You're celebrating. I once was lost. Headed for hell. Now I'm saved. 100%. It's symbolism. Just like the Lord's Supper, the two ordinances to the church, they are symbolism. But the symbolism is important. You're going to see Connie and Tina from there up dry, representing the old Connie and Tina. Before they accepted Christ as their Savior, they were lost and undone, fit for eternal punishment. But when they are raised with Jesus in death, I'm sorry, lowered, they die, if you will, with Jesus in death, immersed in that resurrection power, they're raised in newness of life. It's representative of what happened for the Holy Spirit. You see, there is a baptism that happens at conversion, and it is the Holy Spirit filling you. We're going to get into that more here in just a minute. And that is the baptism that saves you. This baptism symbolizes that baptism. It's an outward show of an inward reality. Point number two, why be baptized? Well, simply put, Jesus submitted to it. In Matthew chapter 3, 13 through 17, it says this, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." That's important. "Then he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water," because he was immersed, "and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." The entire Trinity took place in the baptism. Jesus, the Son of God, was immersed in the water of the Jordan, and when he was raised, the Spirit of God and the symbolism of a dove lighted on his shoulder, and then the voice of God the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." He submitted to it. So did Jesus need to get saved? No. Jesus needed to be baptized to set the example for you and I. Jesus commanded us to do it. Matthew 28, 18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the earth." Now, he says here, or actually Peter says in 1 Peter 2:21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Now, the context is suffering, but he is an example to us in all things, including baptism. So, I think this is the question, answering the question, why be baptized? Jesus submitted to it. It shows complete surrender. If you and I have never done this yet, you need to make sure that God knows that you are surrendered completely, totally, and wholly to his will. Baptism is a way to do that. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I'll go wherever you ask me to go. I'll say whatever you ask me to say. I'll do whatever you want. You see, in Jesus' day, baptism was a death sentence. And nobody was, I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized. No. Tears streaming down their face. God, if this is what you require of me, I will do it. Because they knew. They knew they were going to be drugged in front of the council. They knew. Because when you converted from Judaism, you left the faith as far as the Jews were concerned. But yet, that's why Jesus was constantly wrestling with the scribes and Pharisees. I am the faith, is what Jesus was saying to them. I am the life, the truth, the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. And every man that comes to me needs to show the world that they belong to me now. You see, in the Old Testament, it was circumcision. In the New Testament, it's baptism. You want to identify with Jesus, you need to submit to scriptural New Testament baptism. So it shows complete surrender. Next, under that why, it shows a perfect picture of salvation. Symbolism. So you're dead, you're buried, you're raised, new all over, wet all over. And if my memory will serve me, we are new creatures in Christ. All things have been done away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, I'm making an attempt at humor, okay? So if I get there, laugh, all right? I've gotten to where I have to do that, you know. I've been baptized, so I wear waders. I don't know that I've ever done a baptism, though, that I don't get a little bit baptized again. About right here. That water gets in. Do you know what water does when it gets on your body? It goes everywhere. Jesus does too. When you say, I love you, Lord. You're right. I'm wrong. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. He goes everywhere. And this is a picture of that. And I love the, you know, the old thing of about being filled with the Spirit. And when you and I were baptized with the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, we got all of the Holy Spirit we're ever going to get. The rest of your life is you giving the rest of yourself to Him. All right, next. What does baptism do? It shows your allegiance. It places you into the church. Acts 2:41. Then they gladly received his words. They were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. Added unto them. Now, once you are baptized in a scriptural New Testament church, we don't believe that has to happen again. We send letters to other churches commending you to them and the such, and that's how we do that, and we can discuss all that at a later time. Baptism is not something you have to keep redoing and such of that nature. A scriptural New Testament baptism is meant to be a once-for-all situation, which again represents salvation. But it does, we believe, put you into that church, that local, visible body of called-out believers. So what does it not do? It doesn't save you. Baptism does not save you. It is a work. It is something that you do. You're asked to do it, if you will. You're commanded to do it. It does not save you. That water has no saving ability. The act has no saving ability. It's pointing to something that has already happened. Following up on that, it does not wash your sins away. If I'm talking about one of you, I'm not trying to shoot at you, but in this church, in 25 years, I've had people say, Brother Ben, don't we need to go to the river so that we can have current and can wash my sins away? I'm like, well, if you haven't had your sins washed away, we need to talk about that first. Because no, I love river baptism because it's beautiful. And I think it's an added, if you will, creation picture to the symbolism. But again, there's no saving power in baptism. Therefore, you don't need flowing current to wash those sins away. That's already happened. So, in closing, what does it take to have a scriptural New Testament church, scriptural New Testament baptism? The proper candidate, somebody who has already accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Number two, the proper mode, full immersion. Number three, the proper authority, that's the church. The church has the authority. Number four, the proper administrator. And that's whoever the church says. This church says the ordained brothers can do the baptism. If this church said, we're going to let fathers do it, you have the authority. I'm not pushing that. It's not a battlefield I'm willing to die on. I'm telling you that's how much I believe the church has the authority. And so, again, I tried to give this in almost a teaching format. Now, I'm a preacher, so I'm going to get excited now and then. But the reality is I'm not trying to get on to anybody. I want to hold up what the Bible says about baptism. And if the Holy Spirit speaks to you, I want to talk to you too type thing. Let's all stand. Musicians, will you come? Brother Brad, if you don't mind, if you would receive the folks today, take care of business if you need to. And then after the invitation, Brother Russ, would you just come and talk a little bit? Again, 2 to 5 minutes is what you'll have. Connie and Tina, if you'll dismiss yourself and get ready. Thank you. Brother Brad.